That's how I feel.
Good afternoon, everybody. Or morning, I'm sorry. Good morning, everyone. Still here yesterday yet. We're calling the meeting to order at 9 a.m. We have Jenny, Marie, Daniel, Kirby, and myself chairing. There are no changes to the agenda, so we're looking for a motion to adopt the agenda as is.
Motion to adopt the agenda as is.
Motion made by Marie. Seconded by Daniel. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Looking for a motion to approve the December 16th, 2020 LOC meeting minutes and forward to the business committee for consideration.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Moving on to current business, community support fund law amendments.
This item starts on page 3 of your packet. The Legislative Operating Committee added the community support fund law amendments to its active files list at the beginning of this term in October 2020. Since adding this item to the active files list, the LOC has held 4 work meetings, some of which were held in collaboration with representatives of the Economic Support Services Department. The purpose of the Community Support Fund law is to assist the greatest number of members of the nation who apply for financial assistance to the fund in times of a catastrophic event, catastrophic illness or injury, or emergency event when no other resources for assistance exist. The proposed amendments to the law make the following changes. So revise the definition of immediate family to better reflect Oneida families. Include public health emergency as a catastrophic event, catastrophic illness or injury, or emergency event that qualifies an applicant for assistance from the fund. Clarify that the fund may only be used for the waiting period for Social Security, disability, determination, rent, and utility assistance up to a maximum of 12 months. Remove the requirement that security deposit assistance only be available to those members of the nation who are Wisconsin residents. Remove the requirement that the amount paid for a security deposit be paid back to the fund before another security deposit is issued in the future. Clarify that an applicant must clarify that he or she has applied to his or her local emergency assistance program prior to applying for utility assistance from the fund. Remove the requirement that funeral travel expenses is only provided to arrange or attend a funeral for immediate family members outside the state where the applicant resides. Clarify that lodging assistance due to homelessness or for any other reason not related to a catastrophic event or emergency event, insurance deductibles, and home renovations not related to a handicap accessibility are not covered by the fund. Remove the requirement that an applicant provide all household income the last 30 business days immediately prior to the submission of the application. Expand the time period for an applicant to submit an application from 30 days to 45 days. And adjust the appeal process to reflect reorganization of Governmental Services Division. So on December 2nd, 2020, the LOC approved the proposed draft and legislative analysis. On December 16th, the LOC forwarded the Community Support Fund Law amendments to a public comment period to be held open until January 13, 2021. So typically, the Legislative Procedures Act requires that the LOC hold a public meeting where people can come in person and provide comments on proposed legislation or ask questions. And then hold open a public comment period for an additional 5 business days where an individual may submit written comments or questions on proposed legislation. Now, because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the nation's public health state of emergency, we were unable to safely hold in-person public meetings at this time. So the nation's COVID-19 core decision-making team addressed this issue through its March 27, 2020 declaration titled Suspension of Public Meetings Under the Legislative Procedures Act. This declaration suspended the Legislative Procedures Act requirement to hold a public meeting during the public comment period, but allows members of the community to still participate in the legislative process by submitting written comments, questions, data, or input on proposed legislation to the LOC via email during the public comment period. So although a public meeting was not held for the proposed amendments to this law, a public comment period was still held open until January 13th. One submission of written comments was received during the public comment period. So on page 5 of your packet, you'll see the public meeting comment review memorandum. So this document serves as a tool for the LOC to use when they review and consider public comments that were received as required by the Legislative Procedures Act. So if you look at the memo, it's organized by topic. So immediately after the comment divider in bold, you'll see any relevant excerpt from the law. Then it is followed by the verbatim comment received, including the specifics of who made the comment and whether it was oral or written. So next you'll see the response section, which is my attorney response to the LOC. So here's where I provide the LOC and the reader any relevant background information on the motivation or purpose of the law, any in-depth explanation of the provision of the law, and any potential options for how to consider this comment. The last section under every comment is the LOC consideration. So this is currently blank, but we will be filled in with the LOC's discussion and decision on how to address each comment. So the LOC will be going through and reviewing and considering each comment, and when they make their decisions, that LOC consideration section of the document will be filled in, and then the completed memo will be placed on another LOC meeting agenda. So after the memo on page 8, you'll find the red line draft of the proposed amendments to the Community Support Fund law that was available during the public meeting. So this red line demonstrates all the proposed changes. This is followed by a clean draft of the proposed amendments to the law on page 15 and the submitted written comments on page 22. So we're now asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to accept the public comments and the public comment review memorandum and defer to a work meeting for further consideration.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny, seconded by Daniel. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to emergency management and homeland security law amendments.
So this item starts from page 46 of your packet. So the LOC pursued emergency amendments to the emergency management and homeland security law in March of 2020 in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. So on March 12th, Chairman Tahasi Hill signed a declaration of public health state of emergency in response to the pandemic, which has since been extended until February 11th, 2021. The emergency amendments created and delegated authority to a COVID-19 core decision-making team, which allowed the COVID-19 team to make exemptions to any law, policy, rule, regulation, or standard operating procedure of the nation. So the business committee adopted the emergency amendments through resolution BC 31720E. The emergency amendments were set to expire on September 17th. The Oneida Business Committee then extended the emergency amendments for an additional six-month period beginning on September 17th through the adoption of resolution BC 82620A. So these emergency amendments will now expire on March 17th, 2021. The LOC is now pursuing the adoption of permanent amendments to the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law. So since the amendments were formally added to the active files list this term on October 7th, 2020, the LOC has held three work meetings, some of which were held in collaboration with representatives from the following areas. So the Oneida Business Committee, the Oneida Law Office, Emergency Management Department, Comprehensive Health Division, Risk Management Department, Intergovernmental Affairs, the General Manager, and the Strategic Planner. So the purpose of the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law is to provide for the development and execution of plans for the protection of residents, property, and the environment in an emergency or disaster. Provide for the direction of emergency management response and recovery on the reservation, as well as coordination with other agencies, victims, businesses, and organizations. So the proposed amendments to the law will amend the title from Emergency Management and Homeland Security Law to the Emergency Management Law. It will revise references to Oneida Community Health Services to the Comprehensive Health Division. It will include a definition for emergency. It will revise the title of the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Agency to the Emergency Management Department. It will remove a provision regarding the Public Safety Officers Benefits Program from the law because it is provided for in federal law. It will clarify that the nation may implement more strict policies or requirements than those issued by the community/public health officer. It will clarify that it is within the authority of the community public health officer to issue any mandate order and or require restrictions which may limit the spread of any communicable disease to any individual, business, or the general population of the reservation. It removes a provision that required the Oneida Community Health Services to be responsible for certain expenses of an affected individual. It addresses the authority of the community public health officer to organize the vaccinations of individuals during the public health emergency. It clarifies exemptions to the requirement for vaccines. It extends the time period for a proclamation of an emergency from 30 days to 60 days. It delegates authority to the Oneida Business Committee to establish an emergency core decision-making team upon the declaration of an emergency and determine which positions of the nation will compose that team. It delegates authority to that team to declare exceptions to any law, policy, procedure, regulation, or standard operating procedure of the nation. It provides how that team will make declarations and the duration of authority for those declarations. It requires that notification of any declaration be provided to the business committee within 24 hours of a declaration being made. It clarifies the authority of the business committee to modify, extend, or appeal any declaration or emergency action taken by the emergency core decision-making team. It provides that citations issued for violations of this law shall be processed in accordance with the procedure contained in the nation's laws and policies governing citations. And it provides that the Oneida Business Committee shall adopt through resolution a citation schedule which sets forth specific fine amounts for violations of this law. So on December 16th, the LOC approved the proposed draft and legislative analysis and forwarded the Emergency Management Homeland Security Law amendments to a public comment period to be held open until January 13th. So as I explained earlier, a public meeting was not held on the proposed amendments, but the public comment period was still held open. Three submissions of written comments was received during the public comment period. So on page 48 of your packet, you'll see the public meeting comment review memo. This document is the tool that the LOC uses to review and consider the public comments. So after the memo on page 54, you'll find the red line draft of the proposed amendments to the law. And this is followed by the clean draft of the proposed amendments to the law on page 63, and then the submitted written comments on page 70. So we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to accept the public comments and the public comment review memorandum and defer to a work meeting for further consideration.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny. Seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to Oneida Nation Emergency Planning Committee bylaw amendments. Kristen?
This item begins on page 75 of your packet. On September 26, 2018, the Oneida Business Committee adopted amendments to the Comprehensive Policy Governing Boards, Committees, and Commissions, renaming it the Boards, Committees, and Commissions Law. The amendments included a requirement that the nation's boards, committees, and commissions update their bylaws to appear in the format and contain the minimal amount of information now required under the law. It further required that the boards, committees, and commissions present their amended bylaws to the business committee for adoption within a reasonable time after the law's adoption. Pursuant to a directive from the Oneida Business Committee through Resolution BC-0926-18C, following the law's adoption, the Legislative Reference Office held two informational meetings to provide the boards, committees, and commissions with one, an update on the revised bylaws requirements that resulted from the adoption of the boards, committees, and commissions law, two, a template for the development of their revised bylaws that conform to the new format requirements, and three, offering assistance in the development and drafting of their revised bylaws. The LRO held one of the informational meetings on October 17, 2018, and the other on October 24, 2018. Attendees of those meetings were presented with a PowerPoint presentation and the specific changes that each entity was required at a minimum to make to its bylaws in order to comply with the law. Along with the PowerPoint, attendees were given a hard copy of a template that boards, committees, and commissions could use when amending their bylaws. At the time the informational meetings were being held, the Oneida Nation Emergency Planning Committee was inactive. In early 2020, the Emergency Management Director requested that the committee's bylaws be added to the active files list for purposes of being updated to comply with the Board's Committees and Commissions Law, as well as the Oneida Business Committee Directive regarding certain across-the-board changes to be made to all of the Board's Committees and Commissions bylaws, absent an express exception. Before you today for approval is a draft of proposed amendments to the Oneida Nation Emergency Planning Committee bylaws. The draft contains the following across-the-board changes that were approved by the business committee to be added to all draft bylaws of the boards, committees, and commissions. These are the across-the-board changes. One, that recommendations for termination of a member's appointment be decided by majority vote of the members present at a committee meeting of an established quorum. Two, that regardless of the number of trainings or conferences a committee member is required to attend, no member will be eligible to receive stipends for attending more than 5 full days per year of the mandatory trainings or conferences listed within the committee's bylaws. 3, that the committee chair or chairperson's designee must submit quarterly reports to the BC and annual as well as semi-annual reports to the GTC in accordance with the board's committees and commissions law, and that the chair or chairperson's member designee must further attend the BC meeting where the committee's quarterly report appears on the agenda. 4, that the committee secretary may only call or preside over committee meetings when the chair and vice chair positions become vacant, and for the limited purpose of calling a meeting to fill the vacancies and preside over that meeting until those vacancies are filled. 5, that committee officers may hold only one officer position per officer term, and that officers may be dismissed from their officer positions by majority vote of the members present at a committee meeting of established quorum. 6, that the committee's budgetary sign-off authority corresponds with the authority granted under the nation's purchasing policies and procedures manual. 7, that unless required by law, the committee will not be allowed to hire personnel for its benefit. 8, that the committee meetings are to be noticed to all members in writing, and in the event of an emergency meeting, are to be further noticed to all members via telephone call. 9, that unexcused absences are defined as a failure to provide written notice of an absence to a committee officer at least 30 minutes before the start of the missed meeting. 10, that when acting on behalf of the committee, social media must be used in accordance with committee members' oath of office. 11, that specific stipend dollar amounts will not appear in the committee's bylaws. And 12, that the committee reviews its bylaws no less than on an annual basis. In addition to the across-the-board changes, changes specific to the committee were made to its bylaws either at the request of the committee or as required to comply with the board's committees and commissions law. The draft bylaws reflecting all of the changes begins on page 76 of your packet, with the material changes specific to the committee being as follows. The number of members will be between 7 and 8 plus 6 alternates to be made up as follows. 1 member and 1 alternate shall be employed within the United Police Department. 1 member and 1 alternate shall be employed within the nation's Division of Public Works. 1 member and 1 alternate shall be employed within the nation's Comprehensive Health Division. 1 member and 1 alternate shall be employed within the nation's Community Economic and Development Division. 1 member and 1 alternate member shall be employed within the nation's Environmental, Health, Safety, Land, and Agriculture Division. 1 member and 1 alternate member shall be employed within the nation's Gaming Division. And at least 1, but no more than 2 members shall be representatives from the United Community. Committee members will be appointed per the process set forth in the board's committees and commissions law, meaning that the committee will no longer control the pool of applicants, but will still be allowed to submit a recommendation for appointment to the United Business Committee from the pool of applicants created in accordance with the law. In addition to other qualifications for membership, applicants will no longer be allowed to be employed as political appointees, employed within the nation's Internal Audit Department, Finance Administration, Law Office, Business Committee Support Office, or Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications, or employed in a position that serves as a direct report to the United Business Committee or General Manager. The Business Committee Support Office will now have official sign-off authority over the committee's budgetary purchases, with 2 committee officers being required to approve of the purchase in advance, and the committee must approve a member's request to travel on its behalf by majority vote of the members present at a regular or emergency committee meeting of an established quorum. Committee meetings may be attended in person, via telephone, through video conferencing, or other means of telecommunications, so long as attendance is documented in accordance with the board's committees and commissions law. The committee will be required to set its meeting dates, times, and locations at its first meeting of an established quorum, but has flexibility to change those dates, times, and locations so long as notice is provided in accordance with the nation's open records and open meetings law prior to implementation of a new date, time, and/or location. Proxy voting will no longer be allowed. Stipends for attending training conferences will be paid depending upon whether attendance was up to 4 hours or more than 4 hours, and community representative members will be eligible to receive 12 meeting stipends per fiscal year, as opposed to eligibility being limited to 1 meeting per month. Meeting minutes will now have to appear in a format consistent with the format designed by the Business Committee Support Office to generate the most informative record and be submitted to the Business Committee Support Office within 30 days of committee approval, and any further amendments to the committee bylaws must conform to the requirements of the board's committees and commissions law, as well as any other policy of the nation. The across-the-board changes, as well as the material changes, are discussed in more detail within the legislative analysis found on page 88 of your packet. As noted in the analysis, these changes comply with the laws of the nation, including the board's committees and commissions law. I did have an opportunity to speak with Kaylin Gresham, the nation's emergency management director, regarding the draft amendments before you today for consideration. Because this meeting is closed to the public, I told her that I would relay the following request to the Legislative Operating Committee before it votes on whether to approve forwarding of this item onto the United Business Committee for possible adoption. Kaylin had requested that the following membership be added to the committee's bylaws, and that would allow for one member and one alternate member to be employed within the nation's governmental service division, and that one member and one alternate member shall be employed within the nation's comprehensive housing division. She requested that the qualifications section be revised to only require that community representative members are required to be at least 21 years of age to be members of the United Nation and to reside within the boundaries of the United Nation. She would like the name of the training set forth in Section 1-7 of the proposed bylaws to be changed from Wisconsin Emergency Management Conference to Wisconsin Emergency Management Governors Conference. And she would like Section B of Section 5-1 deleted in its entirety because area representative members are not to receive stipends for anything, including their attendance at trainings and conferences. Prior to this meeting, we held a work session briefly on these requested changes. And as I understand, the consensus is to allow the requested changes with the following qualification, that in the qualification section of the bylaws, the LOC would allow for one area representative member to be exempt from the requirement that the member has to be a member of the United Nation, and that the residential restriction that members have to be residing within the boundaries of the United Nation would be excluded from the bylaws in its entirety. So at this time, I would be looking for a motion to accept the United Nation Emergency Planning Committee bylaws and legislative analysis and forward to the United Business Committee for consideration, with all of the requested changes being added from Kaylin Gresham, except for the revision to the request that only one area representative of the committee be exempt from the membership requirements, and that the residential restriction be deleted from the bylaws in its entirety.
Jenny?
I have a question. Kristen, you said there was a 12 meeting limit per year?
That's correct.
Should that have been 24, or are we keeping it at 12? I just want them to have the ability, should there be an emergency, that they can meet again. I mean, I understand there's 12, and it's an emergency team, but if should there be an emergency, can they meet again?
They can meet. They just would not get a stipend for it. They could get, if they've, the boards, committees, and commissions law changed the requirement that it only be one meeting stipend per month for appointed officials.
But they could still meet and just not get a stipend.
They could still meet. And if they haven't used up their 12 within the year, they could get two stipends within a month. They're just limited to 12 meeting stipends per year.
Okay.
Daniel? Sorry. You're not done yet?
Nope. I'll finish.
Go ahead, Daniel.
I thought this board wasn't getting a stipend.
The community area representatives are entitled to it. The ones that are area representatives employed through the nations would not be entitled to it.
Back to Jenny.
Okay, could you repeat the suggested motion then?
Okay, the suggested motion is to accept the United Nation Emergency Planning Committee bylaws amendments and legislative analysis and forward to the United Business Committee for consideration, with all of the requested changes being added from Kaylin Gresham, except as follows, that the area representative membership qualification be revised to only allow one area representative to be exempt from the requirement that they have to be a member of the United Nation, and for the residential restrictions set forth in the bylaws to be deleted in its entirety.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny. Needing a second. Going once. Going twice.
I'll support it.
Kirby seconds it. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving on to administrative updates. Landlord-tenant law rule number 2, income-based rental program, eligibility, selection, and other requirements, emergency amendments. Clarissa.
So this item starts on page 99 of your packet. The Comprehensive Housing Division is seeking emergency amendments to its landlord-tenant law rule number 2, titled Income-Based Rental Program Eligibility, Selection, and Other Requirements. So the landlord-tenant law confers administrative rulemaking authority to the Comprehensive Housing Division and the Oneida Land Commission to establish rules which create programs for elder tribal members, low-income Oneida tribal members and families, and tribal members in general, and provide specific requirements for those programs. So the law provides that where such rental requirements relate solely to for premises administered pursuant to federal funding, the Comprehensive Housing Division has sole authority. So accordingly, the Comprehensive Housing Division has sole rulemaking authority for the Landlord-Tenant Law Rule Number 2. So this rule was adopted by the Business Committee in 2017. The Comprehensive Housing Division is seeking emergency amendments to the rule to temporarily suspend eligibility requirements related to income and debt in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. So the emergency amendments to the rule would temporarily suspend the requirement that an individual meet a minimum household income of $7,800 per year in recognition of the community hardships brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. Additionally, the requirement that an individual not have a past due balance greater than $200 owed to any utility provider or any prior debt owed to the Comprehensive Housing Division is also temporarily suspended, provided that the health and safety safeguards will continue to require applicants to be eligible to have utilities turned on in their rental units. So the administrative rulemaking law provides that an authorized agency may present the LOC with a proposed emergency rule if the following conditions are met. So one, an emergency situation exists and requires the enactment or amendments of a rule for the immediate preservation of the public health, safety, or general welfare of the reservation population. And two, the enactment or amendment is required sooner than would be possible under the normal rulemaking process. So as you know, the nation has been in an extended public health state of emergency due to COVID-19. The Comprehensive Housing Division provides that the emergency amendments to the rule are necessary for the immediate preservation of the public health, safety, and the general welfare of the reservation population during this COVID-19 pandemic. The amendments are required sooner than would be possible under the normal rulemaking process in an effort to meet the needs of the community during this pandemic. So in email correspondence to the Legislative Reference Office, the Comprehensive Housing Division provided the following justification for the emergency amendment to the rule. So this is the justification for the emergency basis is to ease community stress in an already stressful time, prevent homelessness, which in turn assists in slowing the spread of the virus, and provide for efficient administration of the rental agreement renewal process, which eliminated the need for limited-term rental agreements based on not meeting minimum income eligibility requirements. The Comprehensive Housing Division has provided the LOC with the proposed emergency amendments to the rule. The red line is found on page 99 of your packet, and the clean version is on 110. They've provided the justification for the emergency promulgation of the rule and the summary report, which is found on page 121, and that also includes the fiscal impact statement on page 122 and the statement of effect on page 123. So they have therefore met the requirements of the administrative rulemaking law. It will now be up to the LOC to review the proposed emergency amendments to the rule and either reject the proposed emergency amendments to the rule on the basis that there is not a valid emergency or accept that there is a valid emergency and forward the emergency amendments to the rule to the Oneida Business Committee. So if the LOC determines that the emergency basis exists, then the Oneida Business Committee shall be responsible for reviewing the proposed emergency amendments to the rule and either rejecting the proposed emergency amendments to the rule or adopting the emergency amendments to the rule. So we're now asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to certify the emergency amendments to the Landlord-Tenant Law Rule Number 2 and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
Jenny?
What determines when that's over, when the pandemic is over, will we then have to come back to this and pull that out of the rule? How does it end?
Yes, the rule stays in effect for 6 months. In the language of the rule, you'll see it very specifically states that this is temporary during the pandemic. So the intent is that this rule will stay in place for the extent of the public health emergency. If that public health emergency ends sooner than 6 months, then they would come back with an amended rule to bring it back to the old requirements.
Okay. Okay. I'll make the motion then to certify the emergency amendments to the landlord-tenant rule number 2 and forward to the business committee for consideration.
Second.
Motion been made by Jenny, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Looking for a motion to adjourn at 9:30. Motion made by Daniel.
Supported
by Kirby. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Thank you, everybody.